Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Alyssa about FOXG1. Alyssa Reich is a former fashion executive who transformed her career into being a fierce advocate for families of children with special needs. When her now three-year-old son, Eli, was diagnosed with FOXG1 syndrome, a rare brain disorder with no cure, she spun into action and co-founded Believe in a Cure, and we'll give you the link on our website, which is a nonprofit foundation working to develop a treatment for FOXG1. And thank you so much for joining us today.
And is it Alyssa? We should have
or
asked
is it,
that.
It is Alyssa.
Okay. Okay. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi. Thank you guys so much. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you and sharing about my family and our journey.
Wonderful. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, let's jump right into it, Alyssa. What actually is FOXG1 and how has it changed your life?
So simply put, FOXG1 is a brain disease that severely disables people. It's caused by a mutation in the FOXG1 gene. Basically, it's a typo in the genetic code. One letter is off.
Okay.
But because this gene is such an important gene in the body, it can control hundreds of other genes. It's so, you know, it's such a crucial need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, simply put, FOXG1 completely changed my life and everything I thought it would be and everything I pictured it to be. Upside down in 1 second of my son receiving a diagnosis, our world was changed forever.
Yeah, I am so sorry to hear that. When, I guess I could ask, what are the typical symptoms? And is that how you found out that he had this?
So my son was born and came home from the hospital with no problems at the time.
Okay.
But the symptoms that we noticed immediately were incessant crying. He has a movement disorder, so he's always moving his limbs 24/7. He had visual impairment. He was unable to meet milestones, developmental delays we noticed right off the start. Eye contact. He was never making eye contact as a baby. Sleep irregularities. He had very hard for him to eat and very hard for him to sleep. And then later on, a major symptom is seizures that we noticed later on.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm guessing this is a pretty rare syndrome.
I hope.
Extremely.
Yeah. Is there anything specific? How is FOXG1 diagnosed? Is there any one specific thing, or is it a combination of not hitting milestones, or what?
So it's extremely rare. There's about approximately 900 people in the world who have it, mostly children. Simply because FOXG1 wasn't discovered until a few years ago. So there are definitely many more people around the world who have this but are going undiagnosed because the genetic testing for it just didn't exist until more recently. And that's how you, you're diagnosed with genetic testing.
Okay. And Alyssa, what treatments are available for individuals living with FOXG1 syndrome?
It's like the million-dollar question because there are no treatments available.
Okay.
There's no cure for for FOXG1. There are no meaningful treatments. Mm-hmm. There are medications that Eli, my son, and other individuals with the disease take to lessen the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no meaningful treatment, and that's part of why, that is the reason why we started Believe in a Cure Foundation for this.
So the symptoms that your son has, especially the seizures, are there medications? I mean, seizure medications that might take care of that particular symptom?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Correct.
And I don't think everyone is aware how extremely serious seizures can be.
Right.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really haven't covered seizures too much on our show.
No.
I had no idea, obviously. And then you see someone with it, but there's many different types of seizures, but you see at the time my son was one, maybe a little bit less than one, this first seizure, and you're rocked. It's very terrifying. And then having to figure out what to do to stop the seizures, a whole other set of coping, or I don't even know the right mechanism that you have to learn on the spot, but seizures can be life-threatening.
Right.
And that's, you know, a major component of this disease. And so luckily, I knock on everything in the room, but my son's seizures have been more controlled with medication, but he's extremely reliant on the medication and it changes all the time.
Okay.
So that's right now.
Okay.
Who knows what, you know, a month will be.
Right.
And it had to have been incredibly challenging. I mean, having a newborn is very challenging, no doubt, but having a newborn who you can't console or comfort, who is constantly crying, did your healthcare providers indicate that they initially suspected something like colic? Were you dismissed, or were they? Did they immediately say there's something going on here? We're going to find the answers.
It's interesting you say that, because everyone told me it was colic in the beginning.
Okay.
I have a daughter who's a few years older, and she was an easier baby. It was an easy baby, and I was never used to the crying and everything. But this was a whole different level. Like, I knew something was wrong. He would cry the entire day. He wouldn't sleep at night, and nothing would ever make him stop. It's not like you could feed him or put him in the car or all the things that, like, you would do with a typical newborn. But I was dismissed left and right. I mean, it was a very... It took a few months to get my son's diagnosis. I think he was about 5 months old, but those 5 months were just a lot of dismissal and a lot of, we just don't know, because unfortunately physicians are just not aware. There's just, they're just not familiar with this.
Right.
So,
but even after you got him diagnosed, I mean, you said there's really no treatments, or.
And it's so rare.
And with such a rare thing. I mean,
I guess on one hand, it's good to know that, they found something there, but even though they found something, there was no cure for that. So, I mean, again, it's got to be devastating.
But I always remember, because it was September 19th, 2021. It sticks in my head.
Sure.
But we were at my geneticist's office, and they look at you and they say, it's not good. He has this condition. We have never, my geneticist said, we had never met someone. We've never had a patient with this before. We don't know, but all we know is there's no treatment. Go home, love him, comfort him, but that's the best we can tell you.
Wow.
And you are just sitting in that chair, and you're just like, it's just like everything just crumbles.
Of course.
What
of
do
course.
You say after that?
Right.
So it was extremely the worst day. So.
Yeah.
I hate to bring you back to that area, but what did they say, that the crying was due to pain of some type? Does FOXG1 cause pain, and that's why?
So that's the unfortunate part of this, is that because for my son, he can't express if he's in pain or if he's not. So I really, you know, this is something I deal with on a day-to-day basis, because we still have the bouts of the uncontrollable crying. He's 4.5. Every day is different, and he still has a hard time sleeping. But I can never know if it's associated with pain or if it's something neurological, or I don't know.
Okay.
So all I can do is try to mitigate what I can, based on what I think. I'm learning as I go. And unfortunately I have wonderful physicians who help him, but because there is no like, okay, do this and he'll feel better. You're just making it up and trying your best.
Right. Maybe spend all your time caring for your son. And you also mentioned that you have a daughter. You also have to find time for yourself, one, to rejuvenate, I should say. How do you do that?
Like a respite.
How do you find time for yourself? Because you have to be able, you have to be able to take care of yourself in order to take care of them.
100%. And, you know, the best advice I ever received throughout this entire journey was get out, get outside, get out of your surroundings, remove yourself from your surroundings. I'm pretty sure that at this point I know every single one of my neighbors and everything about them, because I consistently walking, you know, every day. I think that even 10 minutes outside of your house, or whatever time you have, you put on an uplifting music, or you're listening to a great podcast, or whatever it is, really could change. You're changing it up. You're adjusting your mindset. You're trying to feel better. And I think that the get out advice is something that I hope that anybody in my position hears too, because it's what I think about every day.
Mm-hmm. So as a follow-up question to that, and that's because of the work that I do, but do you have any like social service where they provide some respite care so you're able to get out for like an evening or something that's a little bit more extended time? Again, it's for your health and sanity so that you can go back to caring for your son.
You know, the silver lining of all this is that I've met some really incredible people through this journey. And we're very, very fortunate that my family has caretakers that have become family through this, people who have had no experience in taking care of anyone like my son, who have grown to love him and care for him, you know, just like they were their family. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be able to live without having them in my life and have that support system. Support is utterly critical in this because it's a lonely experience. And these caretakers that we found have become my closest friends through all of this.
That's good.
That's wonderful.
It is. It is. Because you need that help.
Yeah, 100%.
And Alyssa, what is the most misunderstood aspect of the syndrome?
I don't know if there's a misunderstood, but I think just the entire idea that there's such a lack of information. Mm-hmm. That most doctors or most people, obviously most people, but most doctors, if you say, my son has FOXG1, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, anything about the disease. And I think that's, you know, that was a main driver for starting Believe in a Cure, because it's very hard as a parent, or as hard as anything, to be able to walk around and try to care for your son, but no one knows anything about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Understood.
And like to be the parents, and you know, I'm sure I know other parents of children of FOXG1 feel the same. We've become the physicians because mm-hmm. we know more than anybody else does.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the most misunderstood part, is that, or just the entirety of lack of info.
Okay. Right. What do you bring with to medical appointments to make it more pleasant?
I love this question, because if you had asked me it a few years ago, I would have said, I don't know, like nothing. But I think throughout this journey, I've learned bringing someone else to the appointment with you is like my number one thing. I used to think like, I got this, like I'm strong, I'll bring him alone, I can do it, like I got this. And then, you know, fast forward a few years, I realized how important it was to bring someone, not only for everyone's help. It was mm-hmm. helpful for my son. It was helpful for me to have somebody else with me so that I can focus on what the doctor is saying while someone else is helping me make it, or just for someone else to hear the same things I have. Because sometimes mm-hmm. when you're so emotional about something, you're not listening to what they're saying.
Right.
You're just so, I spend most of my doctor's appointments and I'm just crying. They talk about my son and I just start crying immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having someone with you, someone else to share with the experience with you or to support you, makes it just that much more bearable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that answer. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
So my next question, earlier you mentioned it's a very, very, very rare disease, only 900 people worldwide. Thank God, I guess, for the internet. But what role have online, but also in-person support groups, how has that helped you along?
It's support groups. I feel like I use the word support groups every, it's always coming out of my mouth. I think they played a tremendous role in my life. I think in support groups, you find your quote unquote people,
mm-hmm.
you find the people who get it more than the average person, who want to help, who have ideas you could share ideas with, and who help you to remove just some of the loneliness of being a part of this. I attend an in-person support group, it's a parent group once a month, and I can't miss it. Like my mm-hmm. whole family knows I go that Friday once a month. That's it. Protected time. Not going to end. I also speak to a therapist myself once a week. And I think what was really helpful about this, I was lucky enough to find a therapist who also has a child similar to my son. So she has the medical background and also the day-to-day experience, which has been very, very, very helpful to me. And then on top of that, I began volunteering as a support group leader, because I think, you know, what better way to cope than to be amongst people in your shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love a support group, and I encourage anybody else who's in my role to
good
do
for
the
you.
Same.
Good for you.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't laud the benefits of volunteering. You know, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alyssa, what advice do you have for parents of a child who was recently diagnosed with FOXG1 syndrome or perhaps another genetic condition?
So I think, I'm no expert, mm-hmm. 4.5 years into this. But I think at this point I could say that I would tell someone that life's never going to be the same again, and that it's a tremendous weight to live with, and that you're going to cry and you're going to scream. Sorry. No, it's okay. Well, you think you just can't do it. Like the physical part and the emotional part, the guilt and everything else, it's just sometimes it's too much. But
yeah,
I think in spite of all of that, I would like someone to know that you're going to see that what you're truly capable of, that you can rise to a height that you never dreamed that you would be able to achieve, that you could fight, that you can survive. And I think that the best part of it is that you might come out of this liking this new version of yourself more than you ever thought you would.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I
have never been in your shoes, but I applaud you for everything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. On top of the fact that you are obviously the primary caregiver for a child that has such a serious condition, you also realize that for others to become healed, more has to be done in research. Mm-hmm. And you went that route as well.
Right.
You're amazing. You are amazing. If you're not told that every day, allow me to tell you, you are amazing.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Are there any medical supplies or equipment or ideas that will help another parent that you've already discovered with treating,
ameliorating the symptoms that Eli has.
Right.
I think, I think you go through stages mm-hmm. of dealing with something. I think at the beginning you don't want to face it. And I think when you let yourself face it and you start to open up your world, and social media and the internet is unbelievable, because I think you're able to find people who have maybe been a little bit ahead of you in this mm-hmm. And you'll be able to see, you know, how people, what spoons are the right spoons, what mm-hmm. shoes are the right, what bed would work,
right.
You know, once they come out of a crib, what, you know, I figured out, you know, in New York, we're entitled to free supply. So I have diapers delivered every month and wipes delivered every month. But in terms of, I think, other supplies and, you know, which wheelchair is the right, he has a stand mm-hmm. or a gait trainer. A lot of this I've learned, not from physicians more, but actually just other people, other parents mm-hmm. On the internet especially. And I think in turn that lets you develop relationships and find more of your people.
Sometimes those are the best experts out there.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And they've tried and tested everything mm-hmm. yeah. and know what works and doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that leads us to Ron's question.
Well, I was going to ask that eventually. So you have the Believe in a Cure Foundation. What was your inspiration?
When did you say you have to do this?
Yeah, pretty immediately after he was diagnosed.
Okay.
Simply put, we live one life, and you know we're going to do everything in that life to make the best possible outcome. For my son and for, you know, other children affected by this terrible, terrible disease. I'm confident that we can make a change and that we will, and you have to go for it. You have to try to, you know, you could be dealt bad news and you could sit with it for the rest of your life, or you could stand up and say, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Excellent. We just, prior to speaking with you, we just interviewed with a scientist, actually, and he is in the field of mRNA treatment possibilities, just like CRISPR.
For conditions where it's that are the result of a missing protein.
Right. So, you know, he said that it's an amazing time because the internet is bringing everybody together and bringing ideas and smart people together. And you have a much better chance of finding that cure now
than
you did before. So, yeah, you got to keep that faith, definitely.
100%. Hope for CRISPR one day.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right. So what's next for the Believe in a Cure Foundation?
So I'm proud to say that we have proof of concept of drugs that have worked in improving the lives of mice with FOXG1.
Okay.
And we're accelerating that work so that we can get to the clinic in a few years with a gene therapy drug, which is basically delivering a healthy copy of the mm-hmm. gene to the brain. Mm-hmm. And while that's going on, we're just focusing on fundraising so that we can make this happen.
Excellent. Wonderful. Excellent. Yes. That's very important.
Right. And just amazing work.
Yes.
Alyssa, what activities do you and your family, what activities are you looking forward to doing this winter? Do you guys have any favorite outdoor or indoor activities that you participate in the winter months?
So I live in New York. Mm-hmm. We live in New York, and we had not one snowflake last year.
Oh no.
Unfortunately. But this year, you know, everyone says the almanac and all these things mm-hmm. are saying they were going to have a snowy winter. So I'm definitely looking forward to that because my son loves the outdoors. Mm-hmm. He loves being outside. He eats most of his meals outside. He loves being outside. It's where he feels really, he smiles and he's happy and does well. So I'm looking forward to letting my kids, I have three children, letting them play in the snow together. I think yeah. that it's something they can do together. You don't have to be able to walk or to talk mm-hmm. to go outside and play in the snow.
Right.
It's something that's fun. It's a manageable. Some things are harder to do with all my kids together. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, I'm being unable to do things, but this is a fun and inclusive activity that they can all do together.
Excellent. So. Yes.
Yeah.
And how can we pass the word about FOXG1? Because this may help your fundraising.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Our website is probably where I would direct everybody. First and foremost, it's www.webelieveinacure.org. And you could find information there about our family, what, you know, the work we're doing. You can see photos of my son. You can donate through the website. And also we do have an Instagram account. It's webelieveinacure. Also @we_, every single word has an underscore
okay.
between it.
Okay.
That will also direct you to the website, but that the website has all the information.
Got it.
Okay.
Webelieveinacure.org.
Excellent.
And this is a little off topic, but one of our neighbors, her daughter is living with Rett syndrome, and one of her favorite activities is equine or hippotherapy. And I was just wondering if you guys have that in your area and if that's something you've ever considered.
Yes, I've heard there's such good benefits from doing that. I have definitely started to look into it. I think that, I'm not sure how old your neighbor was, but from what I read,
she just turned 21.
Yeah, she just turned 21.
It was more like a 5-year-old, like starting around then.
Okay.
I don't really exactly understand why, but maybe they have to be a little bit older. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that there's such amazing benefits from mm-hmm. from hippotherapy that we'll try anything.
Sure.
Of course. Right.
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks. We will definitely be putting links out for your foundation.
Yes.
And we really are so grateful for you to take the time because we know that you've got to be.
You have a lot going on.
A lot on your plate.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much. And hopefully we can get you on again in the future when we have some
updates
and some good news. And
hopefully we'll hear about your winter adventures.
Yeah. Take lots of good pictures of the kids playing in the snow.
Thank you for this. I think, you know, being able to spread awareness is
key.
It's great. And I'm very thankful. So thank you.
All right. If you could hang in there with us for a couple of seconds. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. You can find us on our website, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok by the same name.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or their qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical treatment or a condition and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.